Now this morning, we start our Advent series, and instead of utilizing the lectionary this year, which the lectionary has year A, B, and C, I thought about doing something slightly different. So what I'm going to do in this short series is utilize some of the great Advent hymns of the church, and I'm going to preach on them and give a slight history of them, because the ones that I choose are saturated with Scripture, so I can, in fact, preach through them. Now, this morning, has anybody actually heard of "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending" before? Okay, that's good that we didn't sing it, because nobody has. You're going to go back, hopefully, this week and listen to people who are skilled professionals sing the song, because it's kind of a hard one. But it's a classic, and because of that long title, I'm just going to start referring to it as "Lo, He Comes." It's one of my personal favorites and is traditionally sung by Episcopalians and I believe Methodists on the first Sunday of Advent. So for the maybe five people that raised their hand, you might have had a childhood experience where you sung this great hymn. But for me, I can actually vividly recall singing this hymn for the first time at an Episcopalian church in Dallas in 2011, which I don't remember years quite well. So the fact that I can remember it in that particular year means a lot. And I was actually I was more emotionally moved by the song and how it was performed than the words. And I had it, you know how you get a song stuck in your head and it's just playing over and over again, even if you don't know the words? So what I did is I was moved, which is hard for this stoic Slav like myself, and I went back and listened to the song a lot, and behold, it had a lot of really moving words. And so that's what I want to focus on this morning. In order to help us make Advent season more meaningful, I'd also like to quickly speak about our Advent reading this year. So last year, we focused on the candle and what they mean. Does everybody sort of remember this last year, like the candle of hope and so forth? Well, this year, I'm going to go in a slightly different direction, and we're going to use scripture to read. It's from the Genesis account, as you heard this morning, and it's more of the theme of light and darkness. And we want to focus, Advent traditionally is the idea that we are in darkness, but Jesus, our great light, has appeared. So I'm choosing scriptural texts this year that kind of do a good job at capturing that essence. Now, "Lo, He Comes" was a song written by Charles Wesley, and it seems like he's written a lot of songs that we're going to be singing even in heaven. He's got some of the greatest hits from when he was alive. And the intent to shape the singers and listeners, as we listen to it this morning, is to make us get into the season of Advent, and I think wake up with eager anticipation that Christ would come back. In other words, what it's trying to do is anchor us in Christ's last Advent, and I'll unpack that meaning this morning. But we kind of have a problem, I think, in our current context. Advent's become really popular in pop culture. Has everybody noticed how popular Advent's become in, like, the last decade? Has it become more popular, do you think? Okay, so I want to illustrate this in three ways. And Advent traditionally used to be more of a Roman Catholic or an Episcopalian thing, everybody's kind of nodding their heads, and now it's really cool to follow Advent, which is fine with me. But just to illustrate how popular it's become, during Christmas shopping and patronizing various stores throughout the Treasure Valley, I've seen all these Advent calendars emerging. Has anybody seen these Advent calendars? Okay, so I'm going to go through three quickly that I saw. The first one, which is the traditional one, which is the chocolate one. You know, when you're a kid and you wake up and they're really cheap at Trader Joe's if you want to get them. I think you still could get them. I think it's like $1. And you pop open the day and out pops a little chocolate. And depending on how big your family is or isn't, the kids fight over the chocolate. Or maybe you as the parent fight over and say, it's my turn to get the chocolate. So those have been around, and they're fun, and when you think about Christmas season, to distinguish between Advent, it's really about children, right? That's what makes the holiday so fun. So that one's pretty fair, and you see it, but I've seen another one that started to pop up that's a little bit strange for my liking, which is the doggy Advent calendar. Has anybody seen these? Has anybody actually bought one? Okay, now I won't pick on you. Now, I'm a dog lover, and I love our Chayo. She's a great dog. But a doggy Advent-themed calendar with the treat popping out every day is maybe even a little step too far for this dog lover. It's a little bit, it's confusing the message, so to speak. But I've seen it out there. And then finally, one that I've seen for perhaps my generation is the Lego company. Everybody familiar with Legos, right? Lego sells an Advent calendar that I've seen the last 2 years, and each day an adult by themselves in their, I guessing, 30s or 40s or 50s, pops open the Lego thing, and you build a set at the end of the year. It's a little bit weird, in my opinion. But I only pick on those three because I'm trying to illustrate the fact that Advent's become really popular in the last decade or so. So can you see the trend kind of emerging that it's all over the place? So what I'm trying to do in this Advent series is kind of subvert that, so to speak, and reclaim it as a Christian season, so to speak. What Advent really attempts to do is stress that we live between two ages. We live between Christ's first Advent, which we celebrate on Christmas Day, and we live between his last Advent, when he comes again to judge the living and the dead. And this means for us as Christians, we feel the gravitational pull between these two ages. Does everybody kind of feel this in life? And I try to stress that a lot when I'm preaching. We know that we live in this world kind of caught in between. We're told in the gospel of Advent, so to speak, that Christ is a light and he pushes back darkness. But in our own lives, we perhaps see sin manifest itself personally. We perhaps see it in our family, we see it in our communities, and we see these wars that wage on, which even during this time, we can become a little bit callous to fighting on a global scale, so to speak. We also see God's other enemy, death, rearing its ugly head around our lives and our community. Death still stings, and it's hard for us as Christians as we are caught between these two ages. I want to throw out the devil too. He kind of masquerades, and from time to time in our personal lives or in the life of the church or just in general, who sees the devil rear his evil head from time to time? Is everybody there with me? Okay. I don't want to be too dark during Advent, but Advent traditionally is kind of a season where we think about this a lot. So, which is weird because in Christmas we're taught that everything should be holly and jolly all the time. So this Advent, I'm asking us as a congregation to focus on a great hymn each and every week. Listen closely to the words. I'm more of a stickler on words than the music. That's just how the Lord's made me. And ask the Lord to imprint the words on your heart. Music has almost this magical ability to do things that a proclamation can't do through a sermon or scriptural reading. It shapes us as individuals, and the Lord uses music, I think, to get us into the season, so to speak. Whether you're listening to songs about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Frosty when you're making your cookies, or if you want to be more religious, which I'm using in the positive sense, listen to the great Advent hymns of the church. So this morning, we're going to be working through Lo He Comes, and it really tries to situate us in Christ's last Advent. And the text, I think, that Wesley originally used to inspire it was Revelation chapter 1, and in particular 7 through 8. So please turn with me to Revelation 1, 7. I'll give you a few seconds to pull that out on your phone or in your Bible. So John, when he wrote his Apocalypse, inserts a really important word to get our attention in 1:7, which is behold. I tried to really put an emphasis on the reading. Basically, what John is saying to us is an interjection. He's saying to us, look, pay attention, which is already hard enough in this Christmas season because does everybody feel the gravitational pull to buy gifts already? Like, no? I can see some of you say no because you wait till Christmas Eve, so to speak. But Christ is saying to us this morning, look, pay attention. And this is an important word, behold, in the apocalyptic tradition. And I don't mean apocalyptic like the world's coming to an end. It's more like a revealing. When you peel back an onion, you get further and further to the core of the message. That's what apocalypse traditionally means. John, who loved the Old Testament, channels Daniel, which was read today. He says, he is coming with clouds. And you might say, who's coming? Well, in the text, which Brett read really well, the one like the Son of Man. And in our Gospels, when you read that language, Son of Man, Jesus loved that phrase. He loved Daniel chapter 7, and he's channeling that text when he mentions it all the time. Now, in that text, the Son of Man comes to judge the evil regimes of this world who are against Israel. And I think the same applies to the church as well. Those who are against God and his church will, in fact, be judged. John goes on to say in verse 7, every eye will see him. I think he's referring to all nations. And then he gets into this kind of cryptic language, which is slightly hard to understand, but I think I came to the proper conclusion. Even those who pierced him, all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Now, traditionally, some have taken this as all of us as we experience judgment, and judgment's the first theme of Advent. And I'm trying to make it judgment in a positive sense of the word, so you're not like terrifying. Hold with me, you'll get there. That's one take, that it's judgment to all. But what are the people lamenting in that fact? They're lamenting that Christ was pierced for them. So I take that phrase, even those who pierced him and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him, for those who are repentant, who trust in Christ. You know, when doubting Thomas sees the Lord raised from the dead, what does he say? I need to see your wounds. The wounds of Christ will stick with him forever and ever. If that's what the text is referring to, who are the people that feel bad for Christ's crucifixion? Believers in Christ. So I think that logically makes a lot of sense. So those of us who trust in Christ for eternal salvation, who are repentant, it will be a tragic day, so to speak, but it'll also be a real glorious day because we get to see our Savior face to face. Now, John concludes that in verse 7 with an even so, amen. And I think he's doing that to stress the truthfulness of the message in Revelation 1:7. So as you're kind of looking at me puzzled, perhaps, you might say, well, how is judgment not a terrifying thing? And stick with me on that. I think judgment can be a positive thing. I think we need to have a deeper reading of the text. Judgment, and I think in our Roman series I've been trying to push this home, judgment is not to be terrifying for the Christian. For those of us who might have read The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey in the 80s, I've heard this a lot. Some people had a really terrifying experience reading that book. Did anybody have that? Okay, my last church, we talked about that a lot. Some people liked it, some people hated it, and it kept them up at night. I'm trying to get away from judgment being a bad thing. As Christians, we don't have anything to fear because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now, I want to illustrate this in a down-to-earth way for children, so to speak. And we're all children in our faith. The Lord says to approach him like a child. Recently, I ordered an Apostles' Creed book for children. I have been listening to a podcast and an interview about it. I had actually used the guy who wrote the book, Ben Myers is his name. I used his adult book on the Apostles' Creed, just a regular book, so to speak, and it helped a dear friend of mine who was from Turkey come to saving faith through reading that Apostles' Creed book. Interesting experience. So I was pondering how to communicate mom's passing with the kids, and I was listening to this interview with this guy about the Apostles' Creed book, and he talked about writing the book, which was great, and it's for children. And he also talked about the part in the book and in the creed where we say, we'll come back to judge the living and the dead. And what was interesting is he wrote out the words, he sketched them out, and he was working with an illustrator. And the illustrator said she grew up in a church environment where everything needed to be evangelism. Did anybody grow up in a church like that? Everything needs to, that's good, that's not a bad thing. And so what she did to illustrate it was she took the Matthew text with the sheep and the goats, and it looked like a terrifying judgment to scare people, so to speak, into the kingdom of God. So she did that. The writer who wrote the book came back to her and said, I actually didn't imagine that at all to be in a children's book. What I prefer you to illustrate and maybe go back and ponder is to take out the judgment of those who don't trust in Christ and portray children as they would be in the new heavens and new earth. And you get this beautiful little picture. I'll snap a picture, maybe if I remember this week, post it to our Facebook feed. And you have these wonderful little children who perhaps, it's an imaginative thing, passed away tragically in life, but they're playing in the new heavens and new earth. And when they see Christ, it is the most amazing day of their life. And that's what I'm trying to capture in Christ's last advent. And I think the spirituality of our song has that as well. So, judgment, is it a negative thing for the Christian? No, it's to be a positive thing, whether we are children or adults. For Jesus to come back is a good event. Jesus will triumph over sin, death, and the devil, as I mentioned earlier. So that's verse 1:7. Verse 1:8, John interjects a promise, I think, for us. He says, or he records, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I think he's talking about God the Father there, which sounds a lot like Isaiah chapter 41 through 48, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. It's much like that phrase in Isaiah, I am the first and the last. And what I think John is doing there is very pastorally astute. He's just stressing the fact that God providentially is watching over all of human history. And we can anchor our faith in the fact that the Lord Jesus rules and reigns, and he is subduing the nations under his rule. I like how one commentator summarized Revelation 1 through 7. There's a vision of Christ who is coming and is yet present already. So what I want to ask you to do this morning is take Lo He Comes, plug it into YouTube, I don't use Spotify, but I hear it's great. I'm dating myself. Add it to your Spotify playlist, so to speak, for Advent season. Or make a CD if you really, like me, you know, back in the day, you used to make a CD for somebody you liked in school. Make an Advent CD for yourself and just put Lo He Comes on repeat over and over and over again. I'm the obnoxious person when I love a song that I just listen to it over and over and over again. Does anybody do that? Yeah, and you drive your loved ones crazy, right? I could share a funny story about my mother from a few weeks ago, but I won't. You know, there's something about listening to music and how it shapes us, putting it on repeat, listening to several different interpretations of it, because ultimately each performance is an interpretation in and of itself. And I would ask why you do that this week with Lo He Comes. Keep these three simple things in mind. So the fact is, and we'll sing about it later in the closing hymn, Christ came in his first advent. Christ is coming when he reveals himself to us through conversion, and Christ is coming again. And we're going to sing through these words. So the first one, Christ has come, which is his first advent. This Advent season, dwell and reflect on Christ's first advent. In many ways, it was unexpected and caught Israel off guard. She expected her Messiah to come, to be raised up, and in many ways violently overthrow Roman occupation and all the terrible nations during that particular time. They were trusting in a strong ruler who would issue judgment upon them. But in Christ's first advent, did he issue judgment on everyone necessarily? No. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us to pray for our enemies. That sounds quite contradictory to the expectations of Israel and perhaps our expectations of a Messiah. When you dwell and think about Christ's first advent, think about how Jesus died for his enemies, as we've learned in Romans. And I think that that's one of the big themes of the first advent. As we're caught between two ages, think about how Christ, why he came in his first advent and how he lived. So Christ has come. And we're going to unpack that more as we go through this series. The second idea is Christ is coming. And I think of that in terms of our conversion experience and our continual life caught between the first advent and the last advent. I've purposely said first and last Advent, then first and second. I'll unpack that throughout our series as well. Now, Advent really just means arrival. It's not like a special word or anything. And if you read your New Testament, there's not really a word that's a complete analogy to it other than apocalypse, which is in Revelation 1:1. And again, apocalypse means an unveiling. Each of us, as we come to saving faith and repent for what was done to Christ, has our own personal apocalypse. Those who do see the world differently. We see the world through the lens of faith in Christ. And I think to have faith in Christ is to go from essentially seeing the world in black and white to seeing the world in color. Did anybody have that experience when you trusted in Christ for the first time? That was my experience. So I'd hate to look out this beautiful back, which I'll miss, and see it in black and white. I see, no, it's, well, it's not that glorious today because it's cloudy, but you get the picture. Lo, He Comes is a fitting Advent hymn because it shapes us to ponder and imagine what it's like to live between the first and the last Advent. And I want to stress this morning that depending more or less on how our year has gone will kind of help us to get into the season or not. So there's those of us who perhaps have had a wonderful year where everything went really well. And praise God that it did. That's a good thing. But there's perhaps those of us who've had a harder year. And depending on where you are in life, Advent can feel really good, or it can be a season of mourning. I kind of find myself in the later category with my mom's passing. Holidays just seem weird this year without mom. So for those of us that had a good year at Christ Prez, perhaps everything went great, and to channel that Lego movie song, everything was awesome. Just, it was awesome. We got everything that we could ever want or ask. We secretly wake up in the morning and ask the Lord just to hold off on His last Advent because we got a Christmas party to plan in the coming weeks that we'd really like to get in. Or if the Lord was really good to you financially, you had enough means to purchase a holiday that you really want to go on next summer. I won't ask if that's you. You secretly ask the Lord, you know what, I really want you to come back to destroy sin, death, and the devil and triumph over them, but Lord, if you could just please hold off for 6 more months while I get this vacation in. And to be honest, last year, I purchased tickets for Disneyland around this time, and I was kind of there. I was asking the Lord, you know what, I'd really like to take our 1 and our 3-year-old to Disneyland in the spring. Would you please just come back like in April? Yeah. But there's other of us who might find ourselves this morning in worship rather downcast in spirit. To put it this way, Jesus needed to come back yesterday. Catch my drift on that. It seems like this past year, everything's gone wrong. We've lost a loved one in Christ. We have a loved one who is currently sick. Our children are not walking with the Lord, or just many other issues that kind of beat us up in life. I'm here this morning to pastorally affirm that we should wake up each and every morning, both for those who count their blessings, who have had a great year, and those who have had a real tragic year, and just say, Lord, come back. Everything is not right. We want everything to be right. Would you come back tomorrow? Which brings me to my last point, Jesus' last Advent. Christ is coming again. So Christ has come, Christ is coming, Christ is coming again. But here comes the great Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, and it stresses to us this morning the idea that Christ is coming. It pushes us, I believe, and challenges us wherever we are in life to ground our faith in expectation that Christ will come again in His last Advent. In terms of thinking about like a North Star, a pointing event, for the Christian, the reason why we can hope in Advent is because Christ is coming again, that He will put all rights or all wrongs right. So what's the spirituality of this season? I think it's a season for us as the church here at Christ Prez to think and dwell on that future promised event, how glorious it will be. And that's true for us if we had a good year or a bad year or somewhere in between. The good news of Advent, if we want to go in that direction, is that Christ is coming again. And I don't want to be Mr. Judgmental today, but we were driving through a neighborhood in the valley the other day, and I forget the name of the area we're driving through, but they're having a competition for lights. Ezra and Zoe loved it. It's free, so that's great. You can go buy hot cocoa and drive through this subdivision and just look at the lights. And there was one house that did a really good job, but in my opinion, they were kind of sending mixed signals. They had lights up that said, Jesus is the reason for the season. Fair enough, that's good. But it said, because he rose from the dead. And I kind of like elbowed Sarah and said, that's the message for Easter. That's not the message for Advent, right? The hope, the joy, the reason for the season is that Christ is coming again. And the spirituality of Advent is that we ground our lives in this season and forevermore in that basic fact. That's why we have hope that Jesus will come back and he will triumph and it will be glorious. Just to capture it again in the last stanza of Lo, He Comes, I'll go ahead and read it. And you can, if you have your sheet, you can follow along with me. It says, yea, amen, let all adore thee. High on thine eternal throne, Savior, take the power and glory. Claim the kingdom for thine own. O come quickly, O come quickly. Hallelujah, come, Lord, come. So for us, if we're struggling with judgment, the idea that it's a positive event in human history when Christ comes back, I would ask that you take this song, listen to it over and over and over again. Pick it up and listen to it. Ask the Lord to combat your mixed feelings through worshipful music, because ultimately this is based in Holy Scripture. Music has that power again to shape us and challenge us in this season. Even if the hymn that I've chosen feels a little bit old or outdated, it's kind of an old one, but it's a good one, so to speak. Attune your ears this week to the powerful words of that hymn. So I hope the good news of the Advent season was preached this morning and penetrated your heart. Who's coming back again? Jesus is coming back again. Think about that moment and how glorious it will be. Combat, perhaps, those feelings of dread that come into your mind. Judgment is to be a positive thing, and it should be a delight. And next week, we're going to pick up with a new hymn, the one which I think we'll be able to sing fine, O Come, Emmanuel. Everybody knows that one, right? Okay, good. We'll sing that one next week, and the sermon will be based on that text. So let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the season of Advent as a gift to the church. Help us, Lord, as a congregation, to situate our lives and to think and to ponder the truth that your Son came on Christmas Day, that he came to us in our own personal apocalypse as we trusted in the good news of the gospel. And most importantly, Lord, on this first Sunday of Advent, that your Son is coming again. Help us to see that as good news, and help us ultimately to see the great hope. No matter where we are in life, if we've had a good year or a bad year, the good news of the gospel in Advent is that Christ is coming again. And we pray in his name, amen.